Good morning, everyone. Hello to all you beautiful people. Let's start with a nice breath in. And let it go. Let's just have a couple of those. You can breathe deeply, or you can breathe more shallow if you want, breathing in nice and deeply. And releasing it. And just one more, your favorite centering breath. Okay, here we are. I'm pretty sure the date is August 27th, 2020, which means that our year is better than halfway over. And what a year it's been. We will definitely remember this year for the rest of our lives. And we will tell the children that we come into contact with what we did in 2020. Some of them won't remember, and some of them will. So we can think back to some of the world events that have shaped our lives and our history and the way that we do things, wars and different political organizations and entire movements that dared to stand up and say, no, this will not work for us, and literally change the course of what we do as society, as human beings. So what a magnificent thing it is. This morning, I'd like to bring our attention to a teaching from several different sources. One of them is Charles Fillmore, and one of them, a very famous one, is the Bhagavad Gita, which is a giant metaphor, and it symbolizes the inner battle. Some people call it the battle of good and evil, the battle of light and dark, the battle even of forgiveness of what we are not, to lay hold of what we already are, to remember. And what a strange metaphor that war actually is. And maybe you can relate to that inner struggle that so many days literally feels like a war within just yourself. And then we look into our world and sometimes we see the warring factions, the different people who are oppressed and the people who are oppressing, and the sparks that fly when those two come together. And we look at those and we think, why does it have to happen like this? But it is really a mirror that reflects the inner battle. And so Charles Fillmore taught about the development of the 12 powers. And he said many things about that. And you can really dig into it if you'd like to get his book called The 12 Powers of Man. You can order that online or anywhere else that sells it. Anyway, a lot of people say that it's not only his most mystical work, but in many ways, the focus of his life developing not just the ideas of the 12 powers, but how to develop them within ourselves. And Charles Fillmore related the 12 powers to the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles that Jesus called. And each one represented a different faculty, a different divine faculty: understanding, wisdom, love, illumination, strength, power, faith, imagination, zeal, wisdom, which is also called discernment, which is also called judgment. Maybe I'm forgetting one. Anyway, he talked about in that book, The 12 Powers of Man, how the development of these is much like a factory. And you have different heads of different departments. And then you have the workers in those departments, and those workers do different things. And the heads of the department sort of direct these workers. And the workers can number a great many as this factory grows. And so it is in the Bhagavad Gita, the same way that each person represents an attribute of human consciousness. And all the people of the war, both sides, pitted against each other, represent different tendencies in this human consciousness. And that is a very crude explanation of that, for it is so much more deep than that. But it lends to the idea of today's meditation. And that is that we live entirely in a thought universe. You may remember, well, several Sunday lessons that I shared with you, and I don't remember who said this, but it was a physicist or an astrophysicist or someone that studied the cosmos, and he said that the cosmos or the universe is beginning to look more like a great thought experiment than a great machine. Or maybe he said it's beginning to look more like a great thought than a great machine. Either way, when we put all those together, we see that in many ways we organize our own reality. And so in unity, we call that the law of mind action, and that what you think about, you bring about. And again, for me, that is sort of a crude way to say it, because then we think, well, if I just attune my thoughts, then my reality will change. Well, ultimately, that's true. But the journey is the battle. It is the story of the Bhagavad Gita, and it is the essence of what Charles Fillmore talked about in the development of the 12 powers within each of us. And Charles gave a warning. He said, it is not a wise thing for you, nor did he recommend, that anyone still interested in worldly attainments take up the cultivation of the 12 powers. And there are many reasons for that that we won't get into in this meditation. So take a moment, please, to just check in with yourself and see where you're at. Where is your attention? And now we move into more of a contemplation. And we begin to look at the world around us as a mirror. It is said by some other great master, who I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was in the Bhagavad Gita. It was said that, or at least I understood this teaching, that the reflection that you see of a tree in the water, such as a calm lake, the reflection is more real than the actual tree. And in that way, if the world is a great reflection of our thoughts, and there's a lot of things around us that are really riling us up, then it points to something that is sort of a good news, bad news situation. Something that we talk about quite a bit on Sunday mornings and in the classes that we do together at our center. And that is this strange thing of personal responsibility. of taking responsibility for our own creations. In the 12-step world, we call it keeping your side of the street clean and letting the other side of the street just be whatever it wants to be without judgment, which can be very, very challenging and difficult to do. When we change the way that we think and feel within ourselves, regardless of what anyone else is doing, literally, our experience of the world changes. Our experience of other people whom we come into contact with, you could say other factory workers, other soldiers, for everyone, everyone is fighting some kind of an inner battle. Everyone is a reflection of our own inner world. So it gives a deeper context to oneness. A lot of times we use oneness sort of Pollyannish, and it feels really good to think about that. But it is, again, good news, bad news, in the sense of if I am ready to take that responsibility unto myself, that I am in fact creating my reality, not just with the thoughts that I think, but maybe even more so with the feelings that I feel. And if you ever feel powerless over those feelings, that is actually a good place to be, because we can surrender. And what we surrender to is a higher knowing that is already within us. As Richard Rohr was saying in something that I was reading this morning, he was talking about amnesia, and that really every spiritual teaching and every religion ultimately aims to remind us of something, to remind us of who we already are and what we already have available to us when we transcend. What is not real. What Charles Fillmore a lot called error consciousness. And what he said other religions referred to as evil. So there is work to do. But let not the smaller mind get a hold of it and believe that it is doing something. Instead, let us transcend that and go into true oneness. Which is actually Christ consciousness. And we begin to become willing to see with the eyes of Christ. How would a God of love truly see you? And can you see other people in that way? Oh, that is so challenging, because some days, absolutely yes. And in my best moments, yes, I can. But in other moments, I have a sword and I just want to cut people in two. And you know what I'm talking about. Because what I'm really trying to do is destroy my own reflection in another human being. Because you spot it, you got it. And that is deeply unsettling. So everything that we think we know, if we are to grow, must be let go. Think about it anyway. Really, everything that we think we have, ultimately, we will have to let go. So why not do it now, in consciousness? And that is precisely the point of meditation, as I see it and share it with you now. So how would this God of love see you? And are you willing to see yourself in that same way? And when we are willing to look upon ourselves with that kind of compassion, that kind of true caring, we don't have to do anything to the other people, the other organizations, the political leaders, the potential political leaders, the people that are crying out. We need do nothing to anyone externally. But rather we begin to look upon all things as innocent. This is seeing with the Christ consciousness. This is why we pull the energy that has devolved into whatever dysfunction we see. We pull that energy to the heart center. And it is uncomfortable because we face it in truth. And it is here that we begin to realize, of myself, I cannot heal this, and I need help. And so we call upon the higher power, just innocently, please help me. And the energy begins to move upward. We begin to hear the teachings of Jesus Christ and of the great mystics of all time. And we begin to hear the golden thread, the commonality that nearly always comes to some form of love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. All right, enough talking about that. Remember, we need do nothing with all that contemplation. We do not need to figure it out. We do not need to understand it. We do not need to get in there and do anything with it. But simply, we offer it to a higher knowing. And so maybe you can feel the energy rise from the low to the high, from the dirt to the heart, and from the heart to the spiritual eye, literally the mind of God. And here we surrender. Feel your body relax. Feel your crown open, the very top of your head, as if an opening appeared and allowed light to stream into you, specifically into your mind, your brain, and your spine, the altars of God. Notice here the downward tendency and the upward tendency. And then notice it connect to your breath. Notice that your Christ consciousness center at that point between the eyebrows and the center of the forehead is open. Notice the complete lack of any need to think as we allow a divine mind to flow through us. All-knowing, omniscient, and ever-present. Ever-conscious, ever-new joy, ever-present. And then the simple mantra, God is, I am. I am. God is. Connect the breath to the mantra and the mantra to the breath. Notice as the two become one. And we come now into a state of deep communion with the divine. And then from this place, I invite you to affirm the truth about yourself. And it is very simply this, and you can repeat after me if you'd like. I am here now. Nothing can hold me, for I am eternally free. I am the Christ, pure and innocent. All is forgiven and released. I am the Christ, pure and innocent. All is forgiven and released. Right now, I have everything I need. I am whole and complete. I now affirm the power of perfect love flowing through me. And release anything that stands in the way of realizing this. I am love. I am loved. I am loving in the highest sense of love. I choose to see now through the eyes of perfection that all is well. I am. I am. I am. So we now sit with these truths in the pure energy of sweet silence, where the essence of God is revealed, and simply commune. I will now end the recording. Please stay. Meditate as long as you wish. Om, peace, amen.